Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control in 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight is me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And we have a lot of different stuff to talk about. If you don't know what Free Talk Live is, it's a talk radio that you can call into and bring up whatever's on your mind, change the subject, comment on what we're talking about. It doesn't matter.
And we do mean whatever. If you want to talk about aliens or Bigfoot.
Yep, as long as you keep
it. We actually prefer that.
Yeah, honestly.
There's a lot of nonsense in the world, and, you know, Bigfoot and aliens might be more fun to talk about.
Yeah.
We only have a couple of rules here. One is keep it FCC friendly, don't cuss, and the other one is one call a night.
The FCC and feds will come after us if you cuss.
Yep. So, I brought in a story tonight. I think I had said I was going to start with something else, but I just realized, like, I titled the show about this person, and I'm doing something a little bit different. So, I'm changing a host rule. Not really, it's not a rule. But instead of talking about something that is brand new news, I just want to talk about something that I think is really interesting that more people should know about, and that we'll bring up all kinds of conversations about the stuff we like to tell people about on here.
Cool.
So I brought up this story from Reason.com from the January 1980 issue.
Oh, wow. We're going way, way back.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't know that Reason was a thing in the 80s. I wonder when they were established.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I only knew that it was, like, older than the, like, website, because we actually did something kind of like this, Riley and I, on Thanksgiving. We had a episode where we talked about the history of Thanksgiving. So, like, it was the same exact type of thing. It was, like, from the blah, blah, blah issue. But I'm not sure what year that even was. I think it was in the 80s, but this is in January 1980. That's before Ian was even born.
Wow. Before the founder of the show was born. We're going way, way back.
So do you guys know anything about Wilhelm Reich?
That sounds familiar, but
yeah,
honestly,
that does sound
familiar
to me. I don't remember much about it, or him, or the person.
So, he was a doctor.
Oh, just really quick. Reason was founded in 1968.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I did not know that. But Reason is kind of a libertarian-esque, libertarian-leaning, if not actually, like, openly libertarian magazine. Their little slogan or whatever after the word Reason is free minds and free markets. So it sounds pretty openly libertarian to me. And we use them a lot of time for show prep on the show. But I was telling my sister about Wilhelm Reich because I watched, like, I started first, I had heard of him for a long time. And I kind of felt like you guys just like, I know that name, but I didn't know why. And I read a book called The Secret Life of Plants last year that I talk about all the time because it's just like, oh my god, that was the most, like, influential book to me, at least that I read last year, because it was just like, it made such a huge, like, perfect, you know, it made a good case that the government, they didn't, like, just call out the government, but basically, like, people who have reason to not want things to change, like, the systems and, you know, things that give them their power, like people in colleges, people in the government, they oftentimes will go after somebody who is discovering something, whether it's true or not, that changes the paradigm.
And they don't like it when paradigms change, apparently.
They don't. They don't like change. They haven't, you know, come to peace with the fact that change is a constant in life.
Well, they like control, so mm-hmm. if something changes, it has to be, you know, based on their narrative
yep.
or in a way that gives them, you know, the powers that be
right.
more power, more control.
It's not always the government only, but a lot of times the government is involved. If not, if you look deep enough, it's the where this leads to is, like, government
yeah.
control.
And I feel like at this point, like, government and, at least especially in America, like, government and, like, these mega corporations, like, the 1%, right? Like, yeah, universities, like, that is all kind of, like, conglomerately linked together. Like, or at the very least, they're all in bed together.
Well, universities yeah. should be bastions of free thinking and learning how to critically think, but, you know, today it's become less and less of that and more of, like, let's push a narrative.
Well, they're state-funded, most of them.
Yeah,
most of them
yeah.
are state-funded, and even the private universities are oftentimes worse when it comes to, like, pushing, like, the communist, like, statist narrative.
Oh, wow.
Just in my experience, like, based on, like, the local colleges that I've known people that have gone to, like, the community colleges and state colleges that I've been to were not as, like, commie as the private schools, honestly.
That's surprising. I felt like I was only in college for part of a semester, and I was like, nah, and I dropped out of it. But it was a community college in San Antonio, and I felt like it was just more this teacher, like my English mm-hmm. teacher. She was pretty commie and would make just statements that sounded pretty commie. But then again, the curriculum wasn't necessarily commie. So
yeah,
but that was, you know, part of one semester. But the reason I want to bring in the story about Wilhelm Reich is basically he is a textbook example of, oh, you want to change the paradigm? Well, then we're going to destroy all your works and kill you. To skip to the end.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Right. But also just that there's just so much to learn about the way things are in this world from his story. So let's get into it. It says, American Inquisition, the FDA's persecution of Wilhelm Reich. Wilhelm Reich, born to an Austrian family in 1897. And one thing that was really interesting to me was the place that he was born was part of Austria-Hungary, or however you say that,
mm-hmm.
at the time that he was born in 1897, but today that land is now part of Ukraine. I was like, whoa.
Oh, okay.
That's
really
far out. Like,
yeah.
Far from where Austria is today. I mean, you know, like...
Yeah, so it was big, yeah.
It was way bigger than I realized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It says, Wilhelm Reich, born to an Austrian family in 1897, was trained as a doctor at the Vienna School of Medicine, the home of the early psychoanalytic school in Vienna. Though at first closely associated with Sigmund Freud, at Vienna's psychoanalytic polyclinic, Reich soon developed strong opposition to some of Freud's theories, resulting in his expulsion from the psychoanalytic community in 1934.
Huh.
He left Austria for Berlin, but only 2 years later fled Germany for Scandinavia. In 1939, closely followed by Hitler's armies, he moved on to the United States because he was like a Jew. And
right. It's interesting that they bring up Freud because Freud is the foundation of psychology and behavior psychology, at least from the psychology classes that I've taken
yeah.
over the years. You know, Freud is brought up a lot.
Yeah, he was like the father of psychoanalytical things, which is
mm-hmm.
like they sit there and actually try to get to the bottom of things. I don't know if that's a great definition.
I think, like, as far as Freud goes, I think he was, you know, right about a lot of things, but I also disagree with him.
Yeah,
well,
I don't know
like
much
a lot
about
of
him.
He's kind of infamous for, like, hypersexualizing things and, like,
oh,
kind
really
of
is.
Making
likes,
it, like, creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
he likes to definitely sexualize a lot of things.
Yeah.
And Freud definitely, I mean, Reich definitely had that, but it's not the most interesting, or it's not why we're talking about him today.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of was related to what ended up being really important about what he discovered, but his initial interest was, does orgasm help resolve some issues within the person, like move themselves energetically. And I can't see any reason that that would be untrue.
I tend to believe it does. I tend to believe that orgasm does move energy through your body.
Absolutely.
And it can be a great way to work through some emotional stuff. And if you're with a really loving partner, you know, perhaps a good orgasm between you two or whatever, it can help you move through some experiences together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a very spiritual thing.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's, like, part of the reason him and Freud broke up, which is why I just have a bad taste of it.
I like how you, like, said that. Why they broke up.
Oh, yeah.
It just, like, sounded funny.
They were, like,
I know what you
he
mean,
was
though.
Kind of a student of Freud. I don't know
yeah, why he was, like, kicked out of the school or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. But basically, he believed that all neurosis was the cause of sexual repression. So, like, he believed
that's an interesting thought.
Like, telling people how to orgasm, I guess. Huh. I'm pretty sure you can say that on there, but...
Yeah, I think so. It's a medical term, yeah.
Well, yeah, but, like, telling people how to... I don't know.
They're yeah, like, not describing how to do it on air, so...
Right, okay.
I think you're fine.
That's a great way to put it. So, basically, he believed that... So, he's really interested in that, and from it... It says, in America, Reich began a series of experiments that convinced him that the universe is suffused with subatomic primordial energy, the sustaining force of all living phenomena. And he called this force orgone energy. So it's kind of like playing, the name's like playing off of orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Neurosis and physical disease, he maintained, arise from biological blocking of its release in the living organism. Removal of these somatic blocks would not only rid the world of biopathies such as cancer, and he was supposedly curing cancer, but would remove sociological malfunctions such as authoritarianism and totalitarian governments.
Interesting. Maybe we should be having more orgasms.
He was starting to become a commie when he lived in Austria because, like, he saw some kind of a riot, and I don't remember what it was. Like, it was an infamous riot, mm-hmm. and it really interested him. Or, like, changed the way he saw things, so he kind of became a commie. But later on, he was really frustrated with the way that the Russians were being communist.
Yeah.
And I think he just, like, discovered over time that totalitarianism in general is bad.
Yep. It
is. Yeah, and I think that's pretty common where people kind of... They know the system's not working, so they're like, oh, maybe socialism. Like, on paper, it actually sounds very good and nice.
Oh, of course it does.
But,
the wealth is equally distributed among everybody, except it requires on everyone contributing to the community. And if some people are like, yeah, I don't want to contribute anymore, it's going to fail.
Right. Not even just that. I mean, whenever you have, like, people in power... They're obviously, I mean, there's not enough to go around because there's no incentive for work in production.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the people at the top are not going to go without.
Right.
So then they have an abundance.
And they decide where the stuff that's created goes.
Yeah, yeah. So on paper it sounds good, not really able to be executed as good.
In practice, right.
Yeah.
So he says In place of fascist social structures, Reich advocated a pacifist, anarchic society that he called work democracy. His motto was, work and love are the wellsprings of life. They should also govern it.
Cool.
Reich established a research laboratory at Wrangley, Maine. I think that's how you say that. Do you know? Wrangley?
I don't know.
I think so.
I don't really want to go there. Says, so ever since I found out that he was doing stuff there, which was only, like, last week when I watched that documentary, or, like, I don't know, a month ago. So Reich established a research laboratory at Wrangley, Maine, where a number of physicians and medical doctors in the Boston area joined in his investigations. He constructed metal-lined boxes, orgone energy accumulators, which he called collected omnipresent energy for use in therapy.
Hmm.
So basically, this doesn't really explain it right here. It was like a box that was lined with metal and had organic material in it as well. And there were like several layers of that. And then it's a huge human sized box. He started off with small ones and he was seeing lights light up in it and stuff. And I really wish that we knew more about that, but we'll explain why we don't later. But whenever he started curing people's diseases with it, it was a human sized box with like a seat in it. People would sit in there for a while until the orgone energy of themselves was accumulated in such a degree that it was helping them out, like helping, I don't know, just energetically change things in their body, and it was treating cancer. It says, patients were to sit in these boxes to receive the benefits of the accumulated energy. In published articles, Wright claims successful treatment of cancer, leukemia, and other diseases. As word of the orgone boxes spread, Wright's Institute began sending accumulators to interested persons throughout the United States and the world. One of those people was, who's like the guy you know as like a genius? Einstein. And Einstein, I kind of dislike him now ever since I read about how he treated Reich. It was like, I don't think he gave him a fair shot. I was just basically trying to make it seem like, oh, this doesn't make any sense.
But so
like,
you think that Einstein was dismissive of Reich?
Right, definitely.
Okay.
And like Reich spent a whole day going to his house and showing it to him and stuff, and he was like, oh, it doesn't work because this. And then when Reich responded to him and was like, oh, I see why you would think that, but here's why you're wrong, and like explained it, Einstein just never replied to him again. And that just makes you think he's like, you know, he's them. Or they and them and those, you know?
Yeah.
He's one of them. I don't know. It says, enter now the Food and Drug Administration. These accumulators, the boxes, the FDA maintained were misbranded and adulterated within the meaning of the Food and Drug Act. Misbranded because their accompanying literature made claims of curative powers that were patently false, they said. Adulterated because their curative powers, if any, were manifestly below those claimed, is what they claimed.
Huh.
On February 10th, 1954, the FDA filed an action on libel of information pursuant to U.S. Code Title 21, Section 332A, seeking an injunction against further introduction into interstate commerce or misbranding of orgone energy accumulators. Reich declined to answer or enter an answer or make an appearance in that action. And I want to make sure that they have this quote in this. Basically, he messaged the judge and said that he would not be coming to the trial.
Did he write a letter to the judge or did he message a judge?
Wrote a letter.
Oh, okay.
He wrote a letter to the judge and he basically said that he wasn't going to come because the government doesn't have the ability to decide scientific matters.
Hmm.
And it doesn't have, like, the really awesome quote I wanted right here, but it says, this is from him, it says, my factual position in the case, as well as the world of science today, does not permit me to enter the case against the Food and Drug Administration, since such action would, in my mind, imply admission of the authority of this special branch of the government to pass judgment on primordial, pre-atomic, cosmic orgone energy. And that's pretty awesome. He wrote the letter, or the judge, and said, I'm not showing up because you don't have the... You don't have authority over scientific matters.
Yeah, which is totally true. I mean, they shouldn't. I don't know if they do legally or not. But
I would think that the FDA should exist as an organization. If it's supposed to exist, if we're going to have something like that in a free society, it should exist to make sure that, you know, people are putting safe stuff in their bodies. Now, these orgone accumulators, if they're scientifically proven to work, then yeah, people should be able to use them.
Well, I mean, Food and Drug Administration doesn't sound like a food, and it doesn't sound like a drug. So I mean, even just like at, you know, like the simplest definition, I would think that they would not have authority to say one way or the other.
I think that the reason that they got their little claws into this was because they have authority, quote unquote, they claim authority over medical devices.
Okay.
And that's what they were calling it.
So, I don't know if these accumulators actually work in theory or whatever, but I'd be interested to, since we have the ability nowadays, we could do scientific studies. And we should do scientific studies. We got to have, you know, control groups and things like that. And, you know, have a placebo box and have real boxes and have people try them out and see if they actually work. I think they'd be really cool to try.
Right. One thing about it is, we're going to get into, the government went after him so hard and ended up destroying all his works that explain a lot of stuff that might be, you know, foundational to understand and how these things worked and how they were put together. Because he was, like, having them built, you know? I think that there was a little more to it than the way I described it, just to try to give people an idea of what it was. But the other thing about it is, people are, or the other thing I meant to say about that is, people have been doing that kind of stuff, and a lot of people vehemently disagree that they work, but a lot of people believe that they do work, and we can get into, like, some other things that people have created on the same ideas, like, following the same ideas of Wilhelm Reich.
Maybe it's just placebo, but people should be free to have a placebo if they want to have a placebo.
Right. And placebo is, like, that's such an amazing thing your body can do.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. The mind is a powerful tool. I mean, if you believe that sugar pill is actually going to cure you, then wow, that's powerful.
And then your body does cure itself.
Yeah.
That's kind of proof of the power of your body.
Yeah. That's the basis of manifestation in, like, every single thing in our lives. Like, we're constantly, like, it's not just, like, thinking it. It's, like, truly believing it. It's the belief, like, that's how things actually work.
Right. It says, on motion of the government, defaults and a decree of injunction were entered. The defendants were perpetually enjoined and restrained from committing the practices set forth in the complaint, meaning that he couldn't continue his work. It says, furthermore, all orgone energy accumulators were ordered recalled to the defendant's place of business in Wrangley, Maine, and they're either destroyed or dismantled under the supervision of the FDA. Additionally, in the words of the First Circuit Court on review of the lower court decision, certain listed descriptive literature pertaining thereof were ordered destroyed. The certain listed descriptive literature included all of Reich's published books, which were ordered withdrawn from the market and prohibited from further sale. But
no, that doesn't sound like it. I mean, I believe it happened, but that doesn't... How is that allowed?
It's
how
crazy.
Is that legal?
Yeah, that
you know what I mean?
Very much like government overreach. It sounds like an authoritarian government wants to control everything and say, "Hey, we got to destroy this. It's too dangerous. We can't have the public access."
It literally sounds like something that the Nazis would do,
right,
or like the Soviet Union would do. Like, this sounds like communist dictatorship, totalitarian government actions.
I mean, if you think about it, destroying the boxes is pretty, I think, terrible in my opinion, but there are some people that might not agree with that. But I think most people would agree in the United States that it goes against everything that we're supposed to stand for, to destroy literature, to destroy
ideas. Absolutely, yeah.
People should be free to have snake oil if they want to have snake oil.
Right.
Yeah.
603-283-6160. If you have anything to call in and talk to us about, we're almost done with this story, so call right in. 603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The United Nations Security Council has once again postponed the vote on the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Following hours of intense negotiations today, the United States requested that the vote be deferred until 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow.
Over 10,000 undocumented immigrants are crowded into a cramped detention center in the Texas border town of Eagle Pass, overwhelmed by a surge. Republican Congressman Tony Gonzalez believes the situation is just the beginning.
There's more people in the pipeline, and I suspect Christmas will be worse than today, and New Year's will be worse than today. We're going the absolute wrong direction.
He proposes deploying additional immigration judges to the border. Thursday and Friday will be the peak days of activity during a holiday air travel season that's setting records. According to AAA, approximately 7.5 million air travelers are expected at U.S. airports. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
With more, 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And in the last segment, we were reading this article from, what's it called? Reason. Reason.com. And this article is actually from the January 1980 issue of Reason magazine, and it's all about, it's called American Inquisition, which is a good name, the FDA's persecution of Wilhelm Reich. And we're just talking about how messed up it was that this doctor, this psychoanalyst, this pursuer of scientific knowledge had all of his creations taken away that he was using and claiming, and had plenty of happy people claiming that he cured them with this.
It's just really sad that the government is so eager to prevent people from doing different things with their lives that they want to destroy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, even if he was crazy and all of this was fake and made up, and like,
there's plenty of crazy stuff on the internet these days that you can buy to supposedly cure certain things, so, you
make
know,
things bigger or smaller. Yeah. Well, like, it's probably all
fake.
Or a lot of that.
Yeah, and I think like nowadays, a lot of companies have to be really careful with making any sort of medical promises, mm-hmm. or, you know, unless it is like actually proven and the FDA approves it. You know what I mean? Like, they need to go through the proper channels. Because I know a lot of like vitamins and a lot of natural therapies that probably actually work, mm-hmm. they can't make any claims like that on the packaging or in any of the commercials. Like, they have to be very careful about their wording because the FDA will go after them.
Oh, of course they will. And, you know, things have to be scientifically vetted, of course. But at the same time, you know, it's like, you know, if people want to have pills that supposedly cure certain things, people should be free to do that. It's their body, it's their risk, it's their choice.
And basically, because of all this stuff that the FDA does to people if they claim things, they went after Wilhelm Reich. They told him, you must recall all of your boxes, which he had given for free. Like, he was getting like donations to do this. He was not charging the people he was healing.
Because I'm sure this was, like, all part of his, like, experiment. I'm sure it sounded like he was still in, like, the research phase of it, you know?
Right, and also just, if you really care about, like, helping the world like he did, like, he wasn't really doing it for, like, he was already taken care of, and he was just doing it to heal people.
Yeah.
And so he had, a lot of these boxes were actually with the patients, like, they were using it continuously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And obviously, that means they wanted to use it, and he was supposed to, like, call all of them up and tell them, like, hey, send it back to my lab. And he ignored it. So, and all of his literature was told that it was going to have to be withdrawn from the market and prohibited from further sales. So that's where we were. So we left off on the last segment, but it goes on. This segment's called Book Burning Old and New. It says, Reich ignored the court injunction. Brought before the court on civil and criminal contempt in May 1956, he was found guilty by a jury of violating the court's prior order and sentenced to 2 years in prison. And that's the thing that sucks. Like, they'll get you in prison by just basically something like this. Like, he absolutely wrote to the judge and said, listen, I am not coming because you don't determine, it can't be determined by edict what is true scientifically. I am not coming because you can't just, you know, figure this out in court.
Yeah, it should be the scientists and people who studied this sort of thing to look into claims like this and say, okay, this is true, this is not.
So, yeah.
It's not the government's job to do that for us.
Exactly. So he wrote the government, or he wrote the judge, said that he didn't show up in court.
The
like,
so-called
he said
judge
he wouldn't.
Is not science anyway, so.
And they found him guilty of, they didn't find him guilty of lying and tricking people who were sick. No, they found him guilty of violating the court's order to appear. So
yeah.
That's how they get you. Like,
that's the thing, yeah. So they can't actually get you on what you really did, but they will punish you one way or the other.
Right, or
of
they
course.
Wouldn't
the system
be able
is rigged.
To.
Yeah. The system is rigged against you.
Like, how are they going to, you know, get a jury to say, oh, this is completely fake and stuff like that if there's he has, like, a whole bunch of people come in and testify, like, I was sick, now I'm not, and I want to use this, it's helping me, and, you know. They don't want to do things like that the way that it's supposed to, you know, the way that they tell us that their own system is supposed to work. No, they have to use these stupid little workarounds. So he got sentenced to 2 years in prison. He appealed the decision, arguing that he was engaged in basic scientific research, which no agency of the government had jurisdiction to interfere with or control. The court replied that the refutation of this contention is obvious from its mere statement. Of course, the United States government has power to forbid and power to take appropriate steps to prevent the transportation and interstate commerce of devices of alleged therapeutic value if they are adulterated or misbranded, they said. I didn't really say quote. That's it. I don't know. Was it obvious to me? But that's what the government replied to him. Reich's books were withdrawn from circulation and his magazine and Oregon energy accumulators seized and burnt. And by the way, it doesn't get into this in this article. From the documentary I watched, this was the FDA going above and beyond the order. Like, it was ordered that his books be taken out of circulation and not printed until, further in the future when things could be, like, figured out, whatever. But the FDA went above and beyond, went to his place where he had all his stuff and all his employees, had them come with him with multiple tons, I think 6 tons of literature, books, instructions, whatever, where he had written stuff down, and they burned it. Like, that's how you know that they don't want you to know something.
Yeah, they're willfully destroying property at this point.
Right.
What year was this?
1957 was when it burned, okay. When they burned the stuff.
Okay. I've never heard about any of this, so this is all new to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. They burned the stuff in, 1957. But the court case was 1956. And it says Reich's books were withdrawn from circulation and his magazine and Oregon Energy Accumulator seized and burnt in the presence of FDA representatives. In November 1957, after 8 months of imprisonment, Reich died in Lewisburg Penitentiary in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. And, that's a little sketchy because he wasn't that old, right?
He was 60 years old.
Yeah, so that's young.
It's really sketchy.
Yeah, that is sketchy.
Pretty young.
But a lot of people say that they think that he died of kind of like a broken heart from all this.
Or they killed him.
But that's what I kind of feel.
What was the documentary that you watched called?
I just found it on Odyssey. I could probably find it again by you could search.
I'm just wondering because it's bothering me that I can't remember. Very recently, within the past 1 or 2 years, I watched some sort of documentary or read a book that mentioned him, and it kind of like sent me down a little bit of a rabbit hole. Like I never read any of his books, but I remember like it's probably still in my like save for later Amazon cart because I was like I was interested in it enough to like put his book like a ton of his books in my cart. I never interested enough to put it in my cart and save for later, but not interested enough to like actually read it. I guess like I never got around to it. But
sometimes you just forget about that, and then you're interested in something else.
Yeah, there's just so many books to read.
there are a lot of books to read.
They go on here talking about like the implications of all this. It says in 1633, a predecessor of Reich's, a fellow speculator, found himself for the second time called upon to justify his advocacy of heresy. A victim of subtle psychological oppression by the Grand Inquisitors, Galileo Galilei, is that even that? Can hardly be faulted for his final disavowal of the heliocentric hypothesis. So he is one of the first people that was like, you know what? I don't believe that the Earth is flat.
No, that's the Earth. I think the heliocentric idea is that the
sun goes around the Earth,
not the other way around. The Earth, the Earth actually goes around the sun, but people used to believe that the sun went around the Earth.
So he was wrong? He was the one that believed that?
No, he was right, because he believed the Earth went around the sun.
Disavowal of the heliocentric hypothesis. Okay, so he believed, everybody else believed that the Earth went around the sun.
Yes.
I always thought that he was specifically saying that the Earth was not flat.
I think that's been other people. I also think that the heliocentric model is the Earth is the center of the universe, and Galileo was like, no, the Earth is not the center of the universe.
Oh, okay. But see, they're making this comparison about how it's not unlike other people who have had stuff like this happen to them because of the government, but we have a caller on the line, and that's what this show is about. It's about you can take control of the airwaves and talk about what you want to talk about. Caller, I think that it's Mark. What's on your mind?
Hello, my name's Mark. I'm from Western Pennsylvania. I'm really enjoying the conversation. I wanted to ask, in the last 50 years, I'm an old cranky man. I've noticed that, if there are things out there that really work, that would heal us, make us better, health-wise, medical, bodily, physically, spiritually, whatever, things are kind of poo-pooed, and then there's all these snake oils that maybe somebody who has a lot of money, they're putting these, I don't know, this is my conspiracy theory, putting these snake oils into existence.
Right.
But,
I think about that too.
Wouldn't this lower the chance that they can make, whoever they are, can make big profits? I mean, American Medical, they have all these student loans, and they have to, and they only treat the symptoms. And then insurance companies don't cover the doctor I go to, and he does muscle testing. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but in the future, can you, tell us about muscle testing, because it worked for me.
I don't know much about it, but I know what it is. Isn't it like basically, well, do you know what it is?
It's
a gift.
I think
people have a gift, they can do it.
I'm not sure, but this is what my guess is. Like, I'm pretty sure it's like they will like lift your arm up and you say like, my name is Mark, because your name is Mark, and then they'll tell you to lift your arm up and say, my name is Nikki, and then you can't move your arm.
That's what I was thinking as well. I've done something like this before. I forget what the woman was calling it, but it was a woman that went to my kickboxing gym, and she specialized it. She called it something else, though. I wish I could remember what she called it. I'll look it up on the break. But
is that basically like what you're talking about, Mark?
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks so much for calling.
So
really interesting call.
With things like muscle testing and foot zoning and energy healing, maybe these are just placebos. But Mark is saying, hey, this is working for me. And he should be allowed to have whatever placebo he wants.
But that's the thing, like, what is just a placebo? For
I
all
feel
I
like
know,
everything is a placebo, honestly.
I agree with that. Like,
yeah. You know, the medicine that they use on us at a regular hospital could be just a placebo, quote-unquote.
Sure.
And let's get really controversial here and talk about chemotherapy. So to me, chemotherapy is a literal poison for the body. So if I developed cancer and I were to receive radiation or chemotherapy, like the traditional, like modern medicine solutions or cures for cancer, or therapies for cancer, I would probably get really, really sick and die. But for someone who, like, wholeheartedly believes that that is going to cure them, that might actually cure them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I think
this can be, you know, extended to, like, every single thing in life. Like, our beliefs, and these are like oftentimes very subconscious things. Like, it's not always like in our conscious mind, but like our beliefs based off of like, or from early stemming, like into our childhood, all of these like foundational beliefs, like all of these environmental factors that create our core beliefs, like deep inside of ourselves. That is kind of what creates our reality.
Yes,
so to
our
speak.
Beliefs.
You know what I mean?
Our beliefs shape our reality, definitely.
So it's like if I, just to give an example, like if I were to think that like money is bad and I don't deserve money because of like things that have happened in my childhood or whatever, like all of these like deep core seated beliefs that I have about money, I'm always going to be poor and I'm never going to be abundant. But if I grew up in a family that had, you know, a very, you know, healthy relationship with money, and I kind of, you know what I mean? Like, those sort of things is going to attract everything into our lives. So I think, like, the true deep core beliefs in regards to literally everything, health, wealth, you know, you know, like, what type of car we drive, what kind of house, like, what kind of partner.
How we show up in the world.
Yeah,
what
like,
kind of partner we have.
Absolutely.
Our relationship
yeah.
with that
even.
Partner.
Right.
Yeah.
All sorts
yeah,
of
like,
things. Yeah.
Because that's the thing, like, you know, like, you'll have somebody who's like, wow, like I'm always attracting these jerks. Like, every single guy I date is a jerk, and I've had like 6 ex-husbands, and I'm a good person, and I have a positive outlook on life. Like, why am I attracting all of this crap into my life? It's completely subconscious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, those are the things, and it's not impossible to heal. Like, we can heal this, but it takes, you know, it takes that deep inner work. And I think, like, every single thing in our life stems from that.
Inner work is really hard. I mean,
absolutely.
I've been doing a lot of inner work over the last few years, working with mushrooms and ayahuasca and these sorts of things. And it's challenging. It's challenging because no one wants to go to an ayahuasca ceremony thinking, oh, I'm going to puke and cry in front of all these people and it's going to be so healing. People don't want to do this. Except we do. We do want to go through these experiences. I mean, ayahuasca is no party drug, and I wouldn't take it for a party. But, you know, it's worth it. It's worth the experience.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think we need to use, like, any sort of substances or mushrooms or ayahuasca or anything like that. I think that's a shortcut. I don't even want to call it a shortcut. Well, I mean, like, but it can be. It's a tool that we can use.
Yes, it's a tool.
Yeah.
And I think every tool is valid, whether you want to spend time in scriptures or prayer or whatever to work with that.
Yeah.
Great.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that it's like, if somebody is very left-brained, everything is just material, that would be the perfect method for them because mm-hmm. they need to see kind of that, like, how else could you describe to somebody slash give them a new perspective where they can believe that, like, oh, there's more to this reality than yeah. what you see and perceive with your ears and eyes every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I think it can be a good starting point. Like, I know of some people who took DMT, and it really opened their eyes to, like, what all of the possibilities of the world are. And sometimes people take that experience and they run with it, and they start really diving deep into their, like, inner personal selves and mm-hmm. doing that work.
Yeah.
And then some people, I know tons of people who took DMT, like, hard launched, like, saw all of this stuff, like, mm-hmm. saw the universe folding in on itself and, like, went to source, right? But then they stopped there.
Yeah.
And then they just didn't do anything after that. And they were like, well, that was cool. Like, I saw, you know, like it's where time and space meets. Like, I saw
and that's
the
really
fat,
cool
the,
that you know, saw that. But now what do you do about it? What are you doing to fetch water and chop wood?
Exactly. Yeah. Now what?
That's what they call, you know, like, needing to, I forget what the word is I was about to say, just like needing to integrate it afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Integration. Yeah, absolutely. Integration. Yeah. I mean, the trips are fun, and or maybe not fun, but they're helpful. They're fantastic. Fantastic. But the trip is not the most important part of the journey. It's the integration afterward. It's working through
yeah.
your emotions and journaling and meditating or praying or whatever, and having a practice of integration to work through mm-hmm. all of this.
Absolutely.
And work through all your traumas that still come up afterward.
Well, we do have a caller on hold. Anonymous caller, what's on your mind?
Yes, I have a question regarding the discussion going on with medications and placebos. I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
Sure, what's your name?
In the room correctly. My name is Stefan. I'm calling in from Georgia.
Okay. What's on your mind? What's your question?
Yeah, so do any of you personally believe that there is no distinction between a medication and a placebo?
I don't believe that. That's not something that I've sat around and studied.
I think that's an interesting question. It's hard to say. Like, I'm sure there are medications that are really effective at treating certain conditions, but at the same time, if you don't believe they're going to be helpful, how are you going to use those medications effectively to solve
the
problem?
Yeah, that's called, like, the nocebo, right? Like, the opposite, where something could work for you, but then you don't believe in it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work for you.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't know, because I have seen people, like, even, like, in my work as a nurse, right? Like, I study medications, I administer medications, and I do see, like, let's use an inhaler for an example. So someone's having an asthma attack, and I give them a rescue inhaler of albuterol, mm-hmm. and it stops their, like, that is me watching an actual medication working.
But have you
and
ever
I believe
seen,
that works.
Have you ever seen a medication, like, completely heal a disease? That's what I think is, like, kind of missing in the medical industry.
No, because that isn't what,
like,
medications are for.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Treat,
like,
the symptoms rather than
Exactly.
So I'm saying that, like, people can actually, like, heal themselves from their diseases with the power of their mind and placebos, if you read Joe Dispenza's work. But I've never heard of that happening in the medical industry. And that's just some thoughts I have about it. But, no, I don't go around believing things that I don't have any kind of proof for. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Oh, I was just trying to clarify that. I'm sorry, I forget the name of the second female host. I know your name, Bonnie.
Nikki.
The other one? Okay, so quick question. You had something about chemotherapy being a placebo earlier. Did I hear that correctly?
That's not exactly what I meant. I was kind of using it as an example, so, like, more about, like, deep-seated beliefs, right? So, like, I have such a deep-seated belief that
it's poison.
That it's poison, right?
The
so, like, chemo, and it really, yeah, I guess, and I will, like, wholeheartedly say, like, yes, it is poison. And even, like, in my medical background, like, learning about, like, oncology and chemotherapy in nursing school, like, that is the point of it, right? To poison the cancer cells, but it also poisons your healthy cells as well. So I have such a deep-seated belief that if I were to have those medications administered to me, that it would kill me. So that's probably what would happen. And then someone who is like, nope, I trust the medical model, like, this is going to cure me, it might cure them. So it's not, I mean, I wouldn't call it a placebo because it's, like, a legitimate medication that they, like, I mean, whether you believe it's going to heal you or not, it's going to make you sick. It's literally poisoning your body. But yeah, that was a long answer just to say, no, I didn't call it a placebo.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Is that all you had? All right. Hang up. Well, we also have, it looks like, right. I mean, oops. Dang it. I just hung up on Ricky while I was calling him.
Oh,
Riley.
No. Well,
Ricky, if you're hearing this right now, I didn't mean to hang up on you and you can call back.
We'll get you on there.
Bye. Anyways, continue on. Well, let's see if this is him or Squidward calling. If it's Squidward, I'm not going to answer it yet. All right.
Squidward.
So, basically, one thing I wanted to say about the original caller's point, Mark, was I think the same thing. That's such a funny thing. Like, I haven't really, like, how do I say it? I haven't really brought it to the front of my mind, if that makes sense. But I think that a lot, that idea that maybe they, quote-unquote, put out things that are, like, crappy, fake, like,
oh, yeah, I'm
made
sure.
to even look like it would appeal to, you know, new agers, stuff that doesn't work. It would totally make sense that, like, the big pharma would put that stuff out just to give you the belief that, oh, muscle testing's also fake, and so is all this other stuff, and Wellenreich was probably a quack, and he deserved to have all his stuff burned. But it looks like Ricky called back. Sorry about that, Ricky. I did not mean to hang up on you. I went to answer, and I clicked the wrong button. So, what's on your mind, Ricky?
Oh, that's all right. That's all right, Miss Bonner. These things happen, no doubt. And no there, Brother Riley. How you doing there tonight?
Great, Brother Ricky. How are you?
No doubt. And, of course, Sister Nikki.
Hey.
All right. Well, I got to tell you what's on my mind. And you probably already guessed, I bet. That would be Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, no doubt.
What is that? You know? What is exactly Section 3 of the 14th Amendment?
Well, it's a terrible thing that was created like these things are in 1867 to keep people like, say, like Jefferson Davis, as an example, from running for president. They used to be part of the Confederacy. And see, the problem here is Colorado, you know, it's funny because a lower court.
All right, one second, Ricky. We'll bring you back on. I'm going to put you on hold. 603-283-6160. We'll be back with more. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.